Alexa, what is the baddest podcast in the land?
Here's Pulling Back the Curtain podcast registered from Amazon Music. Playing the latest episode.
On today's show, we pull back the curtain on ways to help those impacted by the ICE raids and much, much more. DJ, let's go where, my guy.
Hey, I'm out of midterm, so I'm just grateful to be done with those and on to the next thing. You know, I emphasize my college journey to the Hezekiah Walker song, 99 and a half. I'm just trying to get to 100 because 99 and a half won't do. I'm just trying to get to the end right now.
How'd they go?
No, they went well. The few that have come back, one of them got an 88. One of them, the professor that we aced it. So, you know, starting off right, hoping to keep the momentum going. I admit, high school DJ was really all A's. I am very much senior year DJs. Like, as long as I'm passing, part of me almost does not care. Shooting for A's and B's, of course. Let's not get that twisted, audience. But as long as your boy passes and gets that paper, I don't care no more.
I was going to tell you this, man. I used to get so fixated on that stuff. And this comes, like, you know, people, when they say what I'm about to say, it's one of those things where it's easy to say this when you did XYZ in school. So I'm going to preface that by saying I did graduate with honors in college. However, in my corporate life, no one ever asked me what my GPA was in college. Mm-hmm. No one cared. So to that point, DJ, man, just finish this shit and get the fuck out of there.
No, literally, my dad, and that's where it's like the having the generation above me, like you, like my pops, like my mom, they already gave me the preference, like my older cousin. Like, she's like my older sister. She already said it. She was like, look, respectfully, in a way, C's do get degrees because they're never going to ask you your GPA when you're out of there. And she pretty much is like, just be aware. So getting to that point now where I'm towards the finish line, like my dad's whole motto is like, get the paper. Like he was like, high school, I understand. You know, you're building something, building the college, building the resume out. The GPA matters. He said, you're at the end now. He said, just get the paper. So all I'm trying to do is just get the paper so I can get the other type of paper, if you know what I mean, you know.
Hey, I see what you did there. Talk that talk. Let's get into these mailbag questions, man. Let's get right to it.
All right. Oh, yeah. This is going to be a fun one. So Christy says, I get a lot of attention from men way younger than me. When I ask some of them what interests them in me, they say old women got their stuff together and know how to treat a man. Mostly for DJ, what's the culture with young women? And she says, Prez, I'm almost afraid what you have to say on this topic.
Damn.
I know. But I'll go first since I guess the question was for me. You know, I feel like as like the word this, I feel like in a way I hear this a lot and I just maybe how I grew up. I can't speak for everybody, but I knew as a kid, a lot of times when you were trying to get a hit at a girl or get to somebody or woman older than you, it was almost like an accomplishment. Like it was almost like a thing where you got a pat on the back, like, hey, look at you go. Like, I ain't gonna lie. So I do think part of that in the young men trying to go for people older is something that is sometimes, depending on where you're at, it's like a thing that's almost like taught in a way. But I also know from just my experience personally right about now, I feel like there also is, where I'm also a very weird anomaly in all this, I will admit. I before I do preference and say some of the things, I am not your normal 21-year-old person, as we've probably learned from listeners to this show. But I do say, like, I do find it that, like, in a different generation, like, I feel like women do have, like, more power now than ever. And I do think sometimes with that comes them, you know, being allowed to, I don't know how to word this without sounding rude, but in a way, be like, they can determine their own destiny. So, like, I get to do what I want. And it's not, like, a bad thing, but it's just, for me, it seems like the reality. Like, I go to a campus at Howard where it is majority women. And when I tell you there's a lot of women out there that are kind of just like, honestly, I'm gonna do what I want. You're gonna like it is just how it is. And me not kind of just, as we kind of joked at the beginning, I'm trying to get my paper and leave. I'm not too concerned because it's like, whatever. But I do find that sort of like culture where you have sort of people that are like, some of them that want to sort of find somebody, but there's not a lot of them. A lot of them are like, I'm in my young years. Let me wild out, do what I want, you know? And it's just kind of, to me, it's like this is the reality of the situation. And it's kind of just where we're at as a people and just culturally, like just my generation is where it is. And I just kind of come to accept that, you know, it seems like a lot of women are like right in this minute not trying to think about dating or settling down or nothing. Whereas there's some dudes like I kind of am sort of in more of that mindset. And my dad said that to me at one point. And the way he worded it was a little wild, I ain't gonna lie, because he kind of was just like, hey, like, you know, they're all trying to do whatever. So, you know, honestly, like, ask out 10 girls, three of them say, yes, you're a great hitter in baseball. I was like, that sounds like a hoe, dad. I'm not doing that. But to his point, it was like everybody's kind of just experimenting, living their life, whatever. And he said, like, I kind of did that through my college years a little bit, as does everybody. So I think if there's those dudes like me who are trying to kind of find someone for life and settle down, shooting towards higher is a lot better than trying to get someone in their age range who's not trying to be on that same wavelength right now.
Yeah, I feel like you said a lot there, but I think the last part was the most impactful part. I think to answer her question, I think it's twofold. I mean, I know she didn't necessarily want my opinion, but you don't get anyway. But I thought what you said there at the end, DJ, was like a bar, right? You spoke about the fact of the women your age, they're not necessarily looking to settle down. The things that they're looking for right now could be all type of thing, whether it's clout, whether it's just focusing on them, their individual needs, whatever the case may be. So it sounds like Christy in this situation, she's benefiting from the experience, like what you even are saying that you're feeling on your college campus. Because Christy, I want to know what's the age range of these men that are hitting on you? Because I'll tell you one thing, they may be onto something now. Because if what DJ is saying is kind of how the streets are acting out here, and now Chrissy's over here telling us situations where she got these young dudes pulling up. I got a message for the young ladies out there. Y'all better get y'all shit together now. You want women like Chrissy out here, these veterans? Y'all want them taking all the men? Because like they telling her, they do know what the hell they doing. And they got money and they established too. So while y'all over here on Instagram using all these filters, gotta act right, gotta act right. But this is another thing. So I actually want to say something too when it comes to age, when it comes to dating. I feel like it's just such a weird dynamic that people judge someone like Chrissy, who obviously is entertaining younger men. And my whole thing is dating should just be who you are into. Because I would say for me, I'm not going to disqualify somebody if they're 10 years younger than me. If they got a good head on their shoulders and if they about good shit and if they got something to lose, just like I got something to lose, then fucking let's roll. So I think in this society, we just need to get back to just minding our business and let people be. As long as
Amen.
people are freaking consenting adults out here and they living their life, Chrissy, you go smash whoever the hell you want to. Just make sure that they ain't ask you for money. Because some of these young dudes be bums out here. So just make sure you be cognizant of that. You know what I mean? But DJ, I thought you answered that very well. I think what it sounds like for your point is you're looking for something that's more specific. And these young women ain't checking for that. And it also sounds like Chrissy, being an established veteran woman out here in the game, she's got a lot to offer a young man that's looking to level up. So that's what I hear.
Also, to your point though, with the consenting adults, yo, my dad used to say the funniest thing as when I was a kid, and like the older I get, the more I'm like he actually was spitting. And I remember, like, as a joke, I have a cousin who's like 2 years younger than me. I remember she jokingly said to me one time, like, oh, like some of my friends think you're cute. And I was like, oh nah, like, and no, I was like 15 and they're 13. So at that time, you're like, oh hell no. But my dad was like, well, not to be that guy. He was like, but think about it. He said, in about 10 years, you're 25, they're 23, who cares? And I was like, and the older I get, the more I'm like, damn, he kind of did have a point though. Like, you know, like once you're consenting adults, like, why does it really matter? Like, be with who you be with. Like, as long as you're happy and minding your business, like, why does it really matter?
And I'm gonna say this too. If there's any women that's listening to this show, I got a public service announcement for y'all from your boy Prayers. Chrissy, thank you for this question because I just something just resonated in my spirit that I gotta share here. I need women to stop shaming young women for dating older men. I feel like in our society, again, like I was saying a second ago, DJ, I think sometimes we just gotta just let people live their lives, right? Because they'll try to say all these young women are being manipulated and they're sluts or they're easy and they're naive. And my thing is this, okay. To me, it comes off a little bit like you're trying to criticize them because you're trying to eliminate your competition. If for some reason You think that, oh man, older men shouldn't date with a younger woman? Then step your game up. A younger gentleman out here, if you pull up on somebody like Chrissy, do what you need to do. Because these young women out here need to be stepping their game up if they want to be with guys like y'all. If not, then the Chrissys of the world and these Miss Parkers out here, shout out to Friday, they're gonna keep winning. That's it. But stop hating on them younger women out there. Now, they ain't did nothing wrong to nobody. If y'all really got a problem with them, go get in the gym.
Ooh. Oh,
What
snap.
we
Now
got
you
next?
next we got Corrine. So Corrine says Willow Smith recently went viral for blasting the modern dating scene. She questions whether asking someone out on a proper date is now outdated. Then she says, "Is chivalry dead?"
So I've often wondered about this, DJ, because to the point that you made a second ago, it's a fair point, right? When you look around at your campus, you see girls that are just maybe on a different wavelength, right? They want things differently than where you're coming from. You're coming in from a standpoint of you're looking for somebody that you want to be with in a meaningful capacity, right? So when I hear that, I hear DJ has probably chivalrous ideals, principles, and how he goes about doing things. But I also kind of feel like we're in a day and age now where the gender roles have been flipped on their head. And some people may feel chivalry is outdated. Chivalry is a misogyny. It's all these different things, you know, whatever they try to claim that these things are. To me, I will never apologize for being a real man. And for me, I think a real man is stepping up and doing the things that need to be happened, asking a woman out, whatever that looks like. Because I don't think any man's walking up to a woman and saying, I want to take you out on a date, but they'll say, I want to go get a drink with you. I want to take you out to dinner. Let's hang out. I know that men are doing those kind of things. But I get where she was coming from in her assessment that she just feels like we're in a society that maybe men aren't necessarily doing that as much. And I thought about something, DJ. When I was your age, it was not uncommon for us to just pull up on females when we'd be at a bar, at a restaurant, at a club. You just walk up to women, you start engaging in conversation, you got phone numbers, life was great. I look at gentlemen now, women be on one side of the function, men be somewhere else, and I'm like, where's the collaboration? And I feel like now it's to the point now where women don't want to be approached by men in public settings. I feel like they are more comfortable in an online setting where they can vet the situation out. And fine, if for safety reasons, I get that because there's a lot of fucking bullshit that happens out here in the world. I get all that. But it was just different for me when I was growing up because I could just pull up on somebody, bruh, and I was getting a number and it was all good. And I feel like now that's not what we have out here. I feel like we have a situation now where women are very selective, but then they also want to control the flow. They want to control all aspects of how things go. And for me, if you're a man that wants to plan a date, if you're a man that wants to do all these various things, it may not match with how some women like to move, right? Because my thing is, there's women that you can't even surprise anymore. You can't be like, hey, we're just gonna do a date night. I just want you to just get dressed and it just like, you know, I'll pick you up. And they'll be like, oh, I need to know where we're going and I need to know this. And I'm like, you don't need to know shit. But in my opinion, some people don't like that shit, DJ. So to answer this question, I think it's a fair point. Is it dead? Because I wonder if some people they don't want that. I think do they not want that because of the time, the changing times, or do they not want that because they've dealt with so many bum ass dudes that at this point they've had to like pay for dates and they've had to be the man in their relationships? These are questions that I wonder about. I mean, you got men out here that had these kids with women. The damn child is out here just lost and don't have that type of direction. And you got moms out here, quote unquote, calling themselves mom and dad, which I hate that narrative. I really do, because you can't be both. But my point is, I think that you have people playing roles nowadays, DJ, that they're not intended to play. And I think that when you look at dating, it's kind of like festered over into that a lot, you know, with things that I see.
Just yes, you're on the money. Because my answer to this question is, it's not dead, but it's a rare art form. And honestly, like he said, is the changing times. Because I will tell you a perfect example, like the men approaching women, because part of this is funny, and I explained this to my dad. I said, this is not the same game no more. Because like you said, because you and my dad are like close enough age. I think my dad got about a good like decade on you or two. I'm not too sure. But y'all seem like y'all near the same kind of generation. Like y'all got along well when y'all met. And I remember, like y'all explained, I'm like, y'all's game was a lot different. Because like you said, walking up to somebody now just out the blue on somebody is not a simple thing to do no more. I mean, my friend, we're literally having this conversation the other day, which is so ironic that this now comes up. And we were literally joking about how like, yeah, we'll go out, like me and my boy the other day went to like the mall. We're just chilling, went to the mall on some regular whatever. And I remember we were like laughing because one of his friends were like, in the class he had, she was like, oh, did you guys go hit on the girls? And I was like, oh, hell no. And it's like, because that sometimes is a dangerous game. And even though I know I'm not on nothing crazy, like you said, there's a lot of BS out here. So it's not as simple no more just to run up on somebody. And to your point of just like the gender roles and things swapping, like I do realize that, like I kind of said earlier, not in a bad way, just the honest fact. And I kind of respect it. Like women have power, more power now than they've ever had in history, in my opinion. And I feel like part of that is, like you said, they kind of get to kind of determine the means of how this goes. Like when they go online, like I know this from having friends that are girls. They're like, yeah, some dude hits me up. Me and my friends, we're stalking his page. We're all like collaborating together to make sure he's safe and that stuff that like I feel like didn't happen before. And where now when they want things on their terms, which I can respect. I get it. They want it on their terms. But now like when it comes on their terms and also different people, it gets wild because I know, like you said, someone with chivalrous tendencies. My father taught me hold the door open for women, stand on the outside of the street. So that's things that I just do instinctively. And what I've learned in growing up and going out my state, out amongst my normal circle, growing up, going to school, not every person does that anymore. Now, A, I assume that part of that is just not being taught. Maybe. No, I can't, we can only go so far in theories on that front. But then, kind of to the changing times point, it being more of a rare art form for some people, like girls I meet, it caught them off guard. And one of my friends actually would sometimes joke me, like, let me stand on the outside of the road. And I'd be like, I'm sorry, but you pick another friend to do that with. I'm like, I'm not the one. Respectfully, you do that with my other friends, let me. I'm not your other friends. I'm gonna stand on the outside of the road and you're gonna like it. Now, my dad heard this conversation and smiled from ear to ear and was like, I raised my son right. But I was just like, since that's not a common thing, it is more of a rare art form, and part of it really is just the changing times. Like that really is, that's just what it is. Kind of back to the other question. We're just in a different time, and at the end of the day, it's just things are different. And for me growing up in this time, it's just the reality I have to accept and just not kind of navigate it in whatever way I see fit. But it really is just one of those, that's just the times we're in. And so I feel like due to the changing times and how things have kind of swapped and it's not the same as it was before. The chivalry is just more of like a rare art form. It's almost like they say with like Latin when it comes to like languages or whatever. Like it's just something that's just not as normal as it was back then.
I think one other thing too that I want to touch on with the comment that you made, I think that it also gets confused with if a man wants to hold the doors open or if they want to stand on quote unquote the right side of the street. Some women, I think nowadays they take that to like, oh, am I weak? Do I need saving? Right? And my whole thing is, again, I think that's just the change in thinking. But what I will say is this, and this may come off and it's probably gonna bother some people, but again, we do this show to be thought-provoking. I also wonder if you look at how marriages and relationships don't withstand longevity during these times. Can it be traced back to the ideals of how men and women operate and the roles of men and women in relationships? Because while I do agree that mutual respect and effort can be had by either gender, in my opinion, I was raised a certain way. DJ, you were raised a certain way, obviously. And I feel like the way that I was raised, it works for me. And I feel like I wasn't raised in a situation where I was dominant over any female or anything like that. I was just raised to treat people the way that I wanted to be treated and also to not be problematic in this world. There's a lot of respect that I have when I see a man, when I see him on a date with his significant other, or when I see him out with somebody, and I see that person doing the things that I was raised to do. And the things that I encourage other young men to do. So my whole thing is, I don't think it's like a thing of saving somebody. I believe in equal rights. I believe in empowerment for women, right? DJ, you said all the key things. I agree with all those things. But fuck all that. At the end of the day, that's cool. And I'm not trying to shit on that. But what I'm also saying too is men, we have a role to play in this world. And we need to fucking remember who the fuck we are. And I'm not trying to be toxic when I say that. But I am never going to sit here and allow society to make me feel like I'm problematic because I want to step up and be a leader in my relationship. I want to be a leader in my household. Fuck that. I'm never going to let the world sit here and dictate that. Because, in my opinion, that's the reason why we got a lot of these situations going on in the world right now, because we don't have leaders in these homes. It's too much fucking negotiating roles, and it's too much negotiating this and that. And we got too many fucking feelings involved. Because we got a lot of broken relationships in this world right now. And I think we just need to get on the same page. Like, the same page is being respectful, communicating. I think that's the biggest thing, DJ, is people got to communicate, right? For you. Whatever you're looking for in your mate, you need to be upfront and communicate that. But you can't compromise who you are for somebody else because it ain't gonna work. You need to find somebody that is gonna be appreciative of your loyalty and the ways that you communicate and how you show your care. And chivalry is one of those things, right? I'm not saying that's the only thing that a man can do, but it's, to me, it's something that I think is important. I think it's important for your woman to feel supported and loved. So, I mean, to answer this question, I mean, Willow Smith, which I give her a props, man, she does a really good job of like bringing up these topics and touching on things that they're hot button things that get people all riled up. And I'm sure people are gonna get all riled up with what I had to say there. But I meant that shit. Like, come on now. Like, look at the relationships that we have now and look at our parents, look at our grandparents. That shit don't happen in my family no more. My grandma, she was with my grandfather until he died, and she was never with another man after that. Not saying that women, I'm not shaming nobody, but what I'm saying is that was her person. You take that for however you want to take that, audience. But we
Right.
don't have that no more.
You spitting. I ain't gonna, to me, you spitting. Like I think about that, like some of my grandparents, like, yeah, you and barely, if anything, it was yeah, it was like once you found the one, you was there. There wasn't none of this, you know, this person and that person, and extra baby mamas, and not like no disrespect, but that's really how it is. And it's one of those things I do feel like with the changing times that makes it so different. And I think to like the same thing you say, we look back. How my like to me when we think about talking about kids on the show, we talk about like the youth and how they're coming up, and a lot of times I think to their parents, and I think tracing it back, and I can't determine a specific time and place where like this is where it started, and this is why we're on the path we're on, but there is sort of that looking back, and I do feel like I said with that chivalry, I think part of that was something that just was not taught, and like you said, I was like, call me crazy, but I'm gonna do it not 10 times out of 10, and you're just gonna have to like, I feel like honestly. Someone in college, that's like the biggest thing I have learned as a kid is after being in my bubble, not everybody was raised the same. And it is maybe the wildest lesson that I've learned in college. And it is very insane.
I'm telling you, man. I thought we personally. I appreciate these questions, but I really appreciated your insight, DJ, because I think it added a little bit to it, you know. And I think this is great because you're getting two different perspectives here on this, right? You're getting the younger generation's perspective, and then you get me. And I'm not jaded. I mean, I don't want anybody to ever think that, but it's just I'm going to be for real because I've seen a lot of nonsense, and maybe in points in life, I've been a part of nonsense, right? So, with that being said, I feel like, you know, there's a lot that we're offering here in this discussion. So, no, we appreciate these mailbag questions and audience. Me and DJ were actually joking offline. We're probably going to have to do a mailbag only episode because I've been seeing people getting upset because their questions aren't being picked up. We try to do a couple per episode, but what we're going to do is we're going to do a future episode where it's going to be strictly mailbag questions. So, we're going to give y'all an hour and a half of just strictly mailbag questions. So, just stay tuned. And we're not even going to put it on the Patreon. We'll put it out there for the chief folks. So, all good.
Yo, the chief folks is crazy.
Well, obviously, on this show, DJ, we're going to be giving advice and just helping people out right now, just as they're navigating a lot of the things that are happening in these communities. I mean, I was telling you on the last show the things that I've seen here in Chicago. You look at the news, you just see the craziness in the fact that there's no advocacy for people out here. And I wanted, at least on this episode, before we get out of here, that we can kind of give some resources to people because I feel like we don't have many politicians, DJ, that are kind of stepping up to the forefront and really advocating for people. Now, there's a lot of backlash that's going on right now against Stephen A. Smith for basically how he called Representative Jasmine Crockett, who works in Texas. He says that he disagreed with her approach to politics. And I thought about that, right, DJ? And I said to myself, I've never heard this man ever come that strongly out against Donald Trump. And when you see the things that Donald Trump are doing in this country, all of her work is to fight his policies that he's putting in place that are harming people, right? And Stephen A. Smith, and I want to say this in a way where people don't take this as a joke, but you guys already know how I feel about him. And a lot of things that he does, in my opinion, are disingenuous. I feel like he's sold his soul many moons ago, right? So we don't even have to get into that. That's low-hanging fruit. But the fact that he used a clip on his damn show where she basically called the governor of Texas a hot ass mess. But he wanted to basically use it and say, well, the guy's paralyzed and he uses a wheelchair. Does the fact that he's paralyzed in a wheelchair take away from the destruction that he is doing in his state and the different things that he's doing and uploading a lot of the stuff that Donald Trump is asking? I'm sorry, but I don't really care about him being paralyzed and in a wheelchair. He has no empathy. We had an episode about this same thing recently, DJ. We can't offer empathy to folks that have none for others. So my whole thing is, we saw last year where this guy was sending busloads and busloads and busloads of migrants from Texas to Chicago and other sanctuary cities across the country. Is that not inhumane? We're not making sure that people are with their families. We're just putting people on buses and sending them God knows where with nowhere to go, no resources, no help, no nothing. Just get on this bus, get the fuck out of my state. So my point is, Stephen A., why are you gonna sit over here and tear her down and basically call her out and say that her politics and the way she goes about doing things isn't appropriate? Okay, then talk to us about Gregory Abbott's politics. Talk to us about Donald Trump's politics, Stephen A. Smith. Because for me, facts are facts. This is a person that's her, all of Jasmine Crockett's intentions are in the right place, man. She's passionate, she's super intelligent. And look at her fucking resume while you're over here talking shit.
To even pull back to a different episode of ours, to me, Stephen A., he did not keep the same energy. Because I don't understand why we attack one person. But like you said, when you have such a very almost like low-hanging fruit to attack Trump at this point, this man is so wild that it's almost very easy to just poke at him. I mean, granted, we already know he's trying to, censor speech when you do poke fun at him and talk about him. But in our reality, it's like it's such a simple thing to do. And to attack a Jasmine Crockett, where I feel like people use her not, almost like we said, the changing times. I think people using her of not trying to act like every other politician, they try to use that against her. Because yes, she is the first politician I feel like I've ever really witnessed who will full blown go at you and just be herself and not give no fucks. And I respect it. I personally love it. I'm not gonna lie, because it's like you're gonna be yourself 10 toes down, and I appreciate that. And I do find that people a lot of times use that against her. Because I remember when she, the Butch Bad Bleach Blonde body, and everybody was like, I can't believe she. And I'm like, I feel like, okay, granted, that's not a normal thing, but what was like, she's at this point, she's playing by the rules they do. When they are all get to say whatever they want on TV, the other side, and call people all type of names and wild out and do whatever the heck they want, why when she does it, it's a problem? Granted, we know why. As we, but I think we pointed to the last episode. There's a lot of times where there's certain people who look a certain way when they do stuff, no matter if they breathe, they're gonna get scrutinized. But I do feel like it's such an insane thing to me. And especially like in these times when you finally have someone who is trying to fight against the honestly, the you can honestly call it tyranny at this point with what Trump and his administration are doing. And define Stephen A., for you as also another black person, even though that's a whole, like you said, a can of worms and low-hanging fruit to go after him and what he's doing. But it's like for you as another black person to try to attack someone who's actually trying to fight back against what this man is doing, you're at this point, you're part of the problem now. And like he said, I have many thoughts on Stephen A. Smith, but that's not what this is about. We're giving our credit to Jasmine Crockett here. We're not gonna worry about Stephen A. But I do find him in that puzzling when it's like when you got someone who's actually trying to fight for what's right and do something. Because like you said, there's some politicians who front like they're doing it. And I always say sometimes I feel there's certain Democrats who are almost like the lesser of two evils. But it is. And like, I feel like that. She is one of those, it's like you can tell she's actually doing something about it. And I respect her for that.
And you know, one of the things that you mentioned too is the comments that he make, right? It's one of those things. The reason why it kind of ticked me off, DJ, is because he talks about how she's playing it to the GOP's talking points. But I feel like when one of our own criticizes another of us for advocating, we're also showing them that we're not united, that we have division amongst our group. And then also, it's like, oh, look at that. We got a black person. Look what he said. See, if the black person said it, then this is what I've been saying about her for years. Now he's right. And we've been right. So my thing is, you're taking her power away from her when you use that fucking platform of yours and open your fucking big mouth to say the stupid shit you're saying. Because he's basically trying to say, how is she helping her district in Texas by being the way that she's been? Okay, so how is any of these people helping their districts right now by sitting back and playing nice and doing things the right way, quote unquote? When the criminals in the fucking White House, there's no right way to do anything when everything this person is doing is wrong and it's illegal to begin with. Are we addressing that? Are we even talking about that? We are not. Two episodes ago, I told y'all, there's no more turning the cheek around here. So I appreciate Jasmine because she's not playing any games with these folks. So if we want to really sit over here and if you want to help, why don't you use your microphone to speak up and use your big boy voice and not tear her down? Because that's, to me, that's all it was, bro. It's all it was. And this is my thing too. We know what his agenda is. Most of us don't have the ability to do anything to stop this man. The Republicans have the Senate and the House, right? But what do you expect her to do? Just sit back like the rest of them? And I've said this before on this show, DJ. We've had politicians in this party that are bitches. And I don't mean that in any other way except for they're soft as hell. They don't do anything. They don't advocate for their people. This is one that basically will go there and she's feared. They know that she don't play games. It's not just about sitting back and playing the game and, oh, you know, we have to have diplomacy and we have to have this. No, that went out the window a long time ago. That was how the game was played back in the day. That ship has sailed, bro. It sailed. We're not there anymore. The game is rigged now. The game has probably been rigged for probably longer than it took a lot of us to realize. But when I see situations like when we're attacking each other like this, and somebody may say, well, Perez, you're attacking Stephen A. No, I'm coming to Jasmine Crocker's defense. And I need more of us to do it. Me and DJ can't be the only voices out here that are speaking up on this matter because to me, I was just really disgusted by his words and the timing of those words too, especially with the things that are going on right now, DJ.
And also too with his comments, it feels to the thing that I feel like I've talked about many times. I feel like I've on the show, if not definitely off the show. It's also that I call it like clickbait journalism too. Because to me, I feel like there was nothing more to his comments besides just trying to get a rise out of people and get people in his comment section fighting each other and just causing controversy. Because to me, if it really was you don't agree with what she said, why don't you say something that's more positive than what you want done? But that was not his purpose there. And I feel like a lot of times, sometimes with a lot of these politicians or just people, their whole entire goal is just to cause controversy. I feel like the perfect example, when Charlie Kirk got shot and they had President Trump on that show and was like, how do we bring this country together? And he says, I don't, and he basically was like, I don't care. They're the problem. And I'm like, that, see, and this is, and like you said, we're in a, I argue we're in the darkest timeline besides maybe a zombie apocalypse, because I swear we are so not united in a way that is just absolutely insane. And I feel like there is a part of us that's just, it's so much easier to divide us than bring us together that no one even tries anymore. And it's just disheartening because I feel like there's so many people, not like Stephen A is the prime example in this moment, but there's so many times before other people, politicians, journalists, whoever have you per se, that are just like, my entire goal at this point is just to cause some controversy and attack somebody. Because the negative stuff on the internet gets pushed farther than the positive. It is just the truth, and it's just a very terrible truth of how this world is run today.
Shit, I couldn't say it any better. I think, like, to your point, even a show like ours, like we do well with listeners, and I mean, I'm very happy with what we do. But this show would probably be a viral show if we were just out here just like tearing people down all the time. And you and I both said we weren't going to be about that. This is not what we wanted to do. And even in the way that you approach journalism, the way I approach things as well, is we're just basically speaking facts, not adding a bunch of extra shit to the mix, just basically not being problematic. And this is my thing. The same way that I hold men accountable on this show to be better, I also have the same energy for women as well. The same energy that I have for genders, I have the same energy for the younger generation. I have the same energy for my generation. I'm not just out here just telling people you gotta do this, but then I'm not calling everybody out. I call my own self out. There's things that I could do better, and I'm trying to do better. Shit, I'm putting the work in. So my biggest thing is when I see people like Stephen A. Smith doing the stuff that they're doing, it's disingenuous to me. He's not doing this shit because he feels the way. He's doing this because he's being paid a boatload of cash. And this is programming, dude. This is basically his boss is telling him to do this shit. And I don't know why he would do that. I don't know why he'd even be okay with doing that. Like, what are we doing? You see
Man.
people being ripped out of their homes, US citizens. And you ain't got nothing to say about that. But you over here worried about how she's talking about a dude that's in a wheelchair. Fuck him in that wheelchair. If he don't even care about human beings in their safety, their livelihood, their families. Why the hell should I care about him? Shit, that motherfucker in that wheelchair still fucking causing problems. So my whole thing is like, why we sitting over here feeling bad for people? He don't feel bad for nothing. This man is evil, just like the rest of them. Any of those people that are sitting back and they can be okay with all the stuff that's happening in this country right now, they're evil. Pure evil. Why do I care about, you know, that's like what Malcolm X said when the roosters come home to nest. That's all this is. And that's probably why my man's over there fucking pressed like that, you know, because his life is fucking terrible. So he has to make everybody else feel the way he feels. It's fucked up, man, when you think about it in the grand scheme of things. Did you have these people, you have about 10 or 15 people in this world that have the power to influence all of our lives. It's sick because these people are ruining our world right now. I didn't say the country, our world.
Full stop. The whole world. And it is insane to think when you give someone that much power and now the way that they're using it, and it's not doing nothing but inflicting pain. And like you said, and there's so many people who just don't care. And to them, I always want to almost ask, like, how do you sleep at night? And I know they don't care, but it's kind of one of those things, like, that is wild to me that you can sleep peacefully knowing that you are just causing everybody else problems. And that to me is just, that's a sick way to live. And it's just, as I say many times, which it's just the unfortunate and crazy times we're in.
Yeah, I mean, think about it, man. We're in the midst of this government shutdown, DJ. I mean, there's, and you know this from your mom working in the industry. We had TSA people that aren't even making money right now. Imagine anybody that's listening to this show. How many of you all showed up to work and you're not being paid to do that job? And don't talk to me about back pay and this and that. You got bills that's due next week, and somebody expecting you to work for free? This is what I'm trying to say, DJ, when I talk about the lack of empathy. Because these people that are sitting here playing these games and shutting the government down, are they being impacted right now? But all of us are the ones that are inflicted the pain and suffering of these people in power sitting over here having fucking hissy fits with one another. And it's really, to me, DJ, one of these things that I always say. Trump's over here dealing with the Gaza stuff and he's dealing with the peace deal over there. And great, that was necessary. But what about the peace that needs to happen in your own country? That DJ you mentioned, this man had no fucking words for that after Charlie Kirk was killed. Not assassinated, killed. But my biggest thing on that is we're focusing on peace over here. Meanwhile, your country's in shambles because of you and your actions. The government shut down, but you over here brokering peace deals somewhere else.
It's insane. I mean, kind of like you said, with the peace there, we're giving Argentina money. But meanwhile, here's people at home that can't even get paid for their bills that happen tomorrow. My mom's a flight attendant. So I, now thankfully, for me and mine, of course, we don't are not impacted by that, and I'm grateful. But even still then, it's a chain effect too, because I will admit, For her, getting through TSA is insane now. And now from there, because it's a government staple, it brings it down. Now anybody trying to fly and commute to work or whatever have you, because some flight attendants, they're based out of somewhere different than they live. They got to fly somewhere. And now all this is doing is just inconveniencing everybody. As we were kind of just saying, there's 10 to 15 people that are about in all the power and they're just inconveniencing everybody's lives. And it's ridiculous. And knowing that all you're really doing right now is, like you said, there's people at home who are supposed to feed their families and live their regular lives, and you're now holding their paychecks because y'all can't agree on very basic things. And then because all y'all want to be stubborn and get what you want and do nothing else, I mean, I feel like some of us really lost the art of just negotiating, clearly, because I don't know what we're doing, that the fact that all you do is government shutdown. And the worst part is knowing that these people are probably on vacation at home with their families, minding their business, thinking I'm gonna be stubborn and let the other side cave first and not care. Meanwhile, here's Americans struggling to just get by. And it is, and it's just sickening. And it like makes me mad. And I know for me, if someone would like fly here and there, you know, some longer line of TSA, yeah, it's a slight inconvenience. But I know there's others who fly for work and go to work, and knowing that it's inconveniencing them in so much a more deeper level is just disheartening. And since I, unlike these people in this office, have empathy, it makes me sad for those people that have to deal with that, knowing that this is something that's easily preventable right now. Like, although, as Brett said, I am very glad we've got some peace in Gaza finally. Granted, I think them articles are written and worded a little kind of messed up, but they're like the people of Israel, but the refugees are, they always have some little slick word. They can't just say people of Gaza, which to me, Palestine is fucked up. But at least we got some peace there. But now we need to come back here and get some peace, and let's get it together back here because this should not be happening. And at the end of the day, you're the president of the United States. You should be making sure the United States is put together first. Although, like I said, credit to him. Let's get it together, Donald, because this is ridiculous.
Now, one of the things, DJ, I want to bring up is think about people out here that get the SNAP benefits. Now, this government shutdown, I mean, it's been about 2 weeks now, right? So now you got millions of people that rely on that. And those are benefits to ensure that people have access to food and children are being able to have nutritious diets and all these type of things like that. It allows parents to have the cash to be able to purchase food. So my biggest thing here is all of this stuff, when you think about it, is people that are rich, people that are in power, playing games like it's Monopoly. Well, it's Monopoly for them. For the rest of us, we're the ones that just suffer. There's low-income Americans in this country right now, DJ, that don't even have the ability to have access to food. Or, and that's pretty much going to be a reality for them very, very soon. And these people, they're not even thinking about that. They're not putting the people that they claim they care so much about, they're not putting them first. And let's not even talk about people that work every day, that have to pay for gas, that have to pay for all these rising costs, these tariffs that this man put into place that are causing things for companies and businesses that do business overseas. All of this shit right now is just beyond fucked. And again, DJ and I both on the same page. We definitely agree that the peace needed to happen over there. That was a bloodbath over there. But what about peace over here? What about making sure the people eat? We have such a homeless population here in Chicago, and LA, when I go there, New York, it's insane. In a country where we have all these people that are billionaires and millionaires, I don't get how these people can sleep with themselves, how they can walk around with all their excess of wealth. And they see that when they drive through their neighborhoods, that they see people sleeping outside under a bridge, sleeping in a tent. Like, what happened to making sure that we're good? What happened to taking care of your own? That's my thing. That's why when I get mad at people when they talk about politicians and the stuff like that, I'm like, until one of them address these issues, the real issues, I really don't care. I get Jasmine Crockett her props because she seems like she has her heart in the right place. But at the same time, I'm sure Jasmine Crockett does well for herself. There's a lot of people right now, DJ, they're struggling. They're hurting out here. These gas prices are insane. I talked about the electrical bills that I've had since the summer with all this AI shit and all these data centers that go up. All the cost and everything that's going on in the world right now is getting passed down to us, the consumer. And it's becoming really punitive for people, man. It really is.
Yeah, it's really insufferable. And I mean, for me growing up in these times, it is definitely wild to look at and knowing how just like I joke with my grandmother sometimes, And me and my grandma, we would joke about like the prices of stuff when she was a kid versus like today. And yeah, there's a crazy jump. But you know, my grandmother also, she just turned 75. For the listeners, I'm talking about my grandma on my mom's side, as the grandma on my father's side did pass, just to clarify that up. But even for me in this time growing up, and we're talking only 10 years from when I was, 11 to now, why is everything almost doubled? I remember being able to get, two Arizona iced teas for $1. Now it's $2. Like, that's insane, And even though I'm saying it in a more like joking way, like, in all reality, like, that is an alarming thing, knowing that everything is going up. Like you said, the tariffs and just the rise of cost of living and just making everything for the consumer, for the American people, and just for people in general, the lower, the middle class, the regular, everyday folk, to make their lives so much harder. It is honestly just unfortunate watching how these people in power, who are doing well off and minding their business, are pretty much have now turned it and put everybody else in such a terrible place, And it's just sad. And I await the day when a politician really comes through and really does solve those issues. Like you said, like when it comes to the homelessness and just all the many things you can name. We could ramble a list and go down for hours on all the different problems that consume and hurt the regular bottom line people that are just not being done. And it is just, I always hate to keep using the word unfortunate, but it's the only word I can use to describe how this is. And it's just something that should not be happening. But and it's the reality, but we have to fix it.
No, we really do. And you think about it like this, man. I think a lot of people, DJ, they're not really thinking about this thing for what it is. Not only is this thing tough for these government employees, but think about the impact it's going to have on other sectors, right? Because if your government shut down, it's going to trickle down. It's going to have an effect on all these things. Think about people in this country that depend on Social Security payments and benefits. Now, those are going to continue, but at a certain point, when will those things have delays? At a certain point, will it impact people that need to sign up to even get benefits, as they maybe get into that type of window to be able to get those benefits? What about people that have student financial aid, right? There's all these things that I don't think people are thinking about, veteran and their benefits and how they get their assistance. There's just a lot of stuff, man. It's crazy. DJ, you talked about the delay in travel. I don't mean to bring that up in a way to complain about that, but that also matters too. You need to have a system in place where people can move from point A to point B in an organized fashion. But if you don't have people that are working, or if you have a reduced amount of people working, then that slows everything down. And then another thing too, think about layoffs that could potentially happen. The beginning of next year, I guarantee you that there's going to be so many jobs that are going to be slashed across this country. There's no way you can combat this type of economy that's going on right now and not have companies that are going to lay people off. It's going to be a bloodbath. And I really, really pray and hope that some of these politicians, man, they get their shit together, man, and they really start to put people first, because they claim that they care for the people, we the people, by the people, all this other shit. But all that's just words. It's just empty platitudes. We don't see it. And I don't know, man. It's harmful, man, to not only just the people, but then you got to think about what that does to crime. What it does to all these different things, right? They try to act like, oh, all these cities are so dangerous and this and that. Well, what do you think is going to happen when people get even more desperate to what's going on out here? What do you think? You're setting this up for people to do these things. And I'm never going to sit here and knock somebody that does what they have to do. As long as you're not killing somebody, you go get something from a store somewhere. I don't care. Because I know that people got to do what they got to do. People out here, they're trying to eat. They're trying to provide for their families. I'm not going to judge somebody for that. You know what I mean?
Now I get you. I mean, like you said, especially when it comes like the layoffs, and it's gonna get worse. And that's where you really just gotta hope that it all resolves itself very soon, and it happens, and it really does wrap it up. Because the longer this goes, the worse this is going to get. And knowing, like you said, at the end of the day, it's affecting the bottom line people. It really needs to happen sooner rather than later, and stop affecting these people. And so that's where, like you said, these politicians, this upper, they need to come together, and need to figure this out. Because, like you said, affecting these people on the lower class and just basically playing with their lives like they're puppets, it's just unnecessary, and it's not needed when you guys can come together and figure this out.
Now, before we get out of here, DJ, I did want to take a couple minutes here, and I wanted to touch on this situation with these ICE raids. Now, I've seen a number of videos where a lot of these people in these cities and these different towns, they're not playing games with ICE. They are running them off. They're blowing the horns and warning, people that ICE is around. They're fighting back. And these are the things that you and I talked about that are necessary during these times, right? You just have to match force with force. And that's what people are doing. But I also want to make sure that we're taking some time to educate people and just making sure that they understand their rights and what's legal and what's not legal to do in these situations, right? Because when you have these people, DJ, that are in mask, that have no identification, right? They're not identifying who they are. You don't even know who these people are. They're literally kidnapping people. Like, this shit is some shit out of a movie. Like, they're literally
Yes.
just snatching people up off of the street. Now, I've seen situations where these agents, and I'm putting it in air quotes, will tell people that they can't record or they can't intervene in an arrest. And I want people to realize that that's bullshit. There's things that you have the right to do, whether it's your public property, whether it's in front of a government building, as long as you're not blocking access to that building or interfering with any other purposes that the building and property is designed for, you could be there. Like these protests that are going on. I want to make sure people understand their rights. If these people try to come at you and tell you that you can't be somewhere, that is not true. Especially on your property, too. I've seen so many situations where these people on someone's private property, they're telling them what they can and cannot do. It's
Yeah.
insane.
And I mean, I've seen a couple where they've tried to go in people's houses. Here's the thing. You don't have to open the door. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to answer these questions. And it's a thing that's insane when they just run up in here. And honestly, what they remind me of, which really wilds out, is knowing that growing up, they had programs in our city about, raising awareness for gangs and signs of a gang. They're running around like a gang. Like, that's the first thing I think of when you got the mask and the, like, that's wild. And knowing that they're like forcing you to do stuff and, and read you like, oh, and you said trying to tell you what you can and cannot do, and that's simply not true. Like, they're not, these are like they are not federal agents. They're not, even still then, I feel like some of these people shouldn't be doing that stuff, even when it comes to the police or whatever have you. And knowing that they try to force you to answer questions or get you to sign stuff, and that's not stuff you were forced to do. You don't technically have to do any of that. And they force them to answer these questions, and then they beat them to a pulp if not. And it is a sick way we're living. And it really does, drive me insane almost. And like you said, and they said that you can't record, and like that, just because you want to do some illegal shit doesn't mean you can't be mad when you get recorded and get caught. Like, that's the reality of it. And it is definitely just sickening.
And I think people need to realize that your rights are the strongest in those traditional public forums. So, like whether it's the streets, sidewalks, the parks, those are the places where no one can tell you that you can't be there. You can't congregate there. So, my biggest thing is I've seen a lot of people understanding those things. Just make sure people continue to understand. Stay on those streets, stay on the sidewalks, record, advocate. Make sure you're taking notes of what's going on because that is how you help in these situations because what we're seeing right now is not lawful. Like you and I talked about, DJ, we talked before about this originally being about dangerous criminals and people that were coming here to kill people and do all this stuff. This has now morphed into something that's not, you and I don't even need to get into that part anymore. I just want to make sure that people understand that you do have free speech rights, right? And the police and ICE. They have to treat protesters and counter-protesters equally, right? Now, the one thing that I want people to realize, though, is you obviously realize that there's going to be people, just because we're against ICE, there's going to be weirdos that are going to be for them. And you can't be distracted out here. You can't get into these fights with people because my biggest thing is that takes away all of our argument. Our energy should be towards ICE. And these people that are out here snatching people off the street. I'm not worried and focused on this idiot over here that's trying to get me off of the mission because then that's taking away the mission of trying to help somebody. So I just want people to just be cognizant of that. But again, like what DJ said, you got the right to photograph anything in plain view. I don't care if it's a federal building, I don't care if it's the police or private property. I want people to keep this in mind. The owner, you, DJ. You, audience, you set the rules related to that photo or the video. No one can tell you what to do with that content. You don't need any sort of permit to march on the streets or on any sidewalk. Again, as long as you're not obstructing any sort of traffic. So I just want to make sure people understand these things because I've seen a lot of videos where these people keep throwing out stuff. You're obstructing. You have to have a permit. No, you don't. You don't need that at all. And so, DJ, I just want to make sure that people are understanding their rights in this situation. Because, again, I've seen a lot of situations where the police, they're kind of just like standing down right now. Here in Chicago, Mayor Johnson, he signed an executive order where he's telling his police officers, you're not going to help them do anything. So the police are just standing there. So the police in this situation, they don't really have much of a jurisdiction. But my point is, this is why it's important for people to understand their rights. Because if the police are standing down, who's going to help you? You got to understand what's going on. Especially if you're going to be outside, if you're going to be protesting, if you're going to be out here recording, if you're going to be out here making sure that the ICE agents know that you're here, make sure you do it. Get contact information for people that are being unlawfully taken in, right? Make sure that you get a phone number for a relative. Like, these are things you could do to make sure that you're protecting these folks. Because there's people, man, DJ, they're snatching them out of lines where they're going to pick up their kids from school. Right? How the
Yes.
hell is a kid, how the hell does a kid know where their parent is? They go outside to the damn the car line and their parent not in the car because the ICE has snatched the parent out of the car.
If it's your private property, you don't gotta open that door. Like that's one of those, because that one video I've seen when they've running through buildings like that really did just, it didn't sit right with me in my spirit. Like they're just running through buildings, running through people. Like it's like you said, something out of a movie. And just like, please know, like you don't technically have to like answer these people, because technically they're doing stuff unlawfully. They're not doing what they're supposed to. Because I if like we go in the movies, technically all the time they're supposed to knock, if anything. But you, like you said, you technically don't have to open that door or sign that or answer that question. So, like, until like he said, with the recording, the permits, please, like, take these notes and help these people, because, it, like you said, you this is what we've unfortunately, as much as I know, I do take a more peaceful approach at life. We have with this ICE raids have lost the plot and have gotten to a point where you no longer you have to fight fire with fire, and we have to somehow push back, and that's just where we're at.
And lastly, these officers, air quotes, they can't confiscate or demand to view any of your photographs or any of your video. They have to have a warrant. Anytime these people are around you, make sure you say, do you have a warrant? They don't have a warrant. They won't have a warrant. They would need that, and they're not going to have that information because you and them have never had any interaction. There's no need for them to have a warrant on you, right? They can't delete anything under any circumstances. Now, they can do this. Now, I want to make sure that people understand this. They may order you to cease activities that are interfering with their legitimate operation. But again, legitimate operation. If you're videotaping anything, there's a distinction between a visual photographic record, which is fully protected, but then an audio portion of a videotape. Because again, it depends on the state where you're a DJ. Some have wiretapping laws and things of that nature. So you have to be careful with how you're disseminating information. So again, I just want people to realize that there's things that you do that you want to protect yourself and you want to make sure that you're helping people, you're advocating for people, but you don't want to put yourself in a situation where these people try to then now reverse come after you because you're trying to help other people out. So that's why we want to do this episode. We just want to make sure that people understand their rights. That we're helping these individuals. And again, like you said, DJ, you ain't gotta open your door to these folks. Don't let anybody in. They need a warrant, right? But I also want to tell people, if they come to you about your immigration status, don't lie about your status. Don't provide false documents, because that gives them credence to do things for you. The one thing that I have said to a couple people or some friends of mine that have talked to me about the situation. You got the right to just remain silent. If I'm somebody in that status where I don't have like my proper immigration status, anything that I say, they're going to use that shit against me, right? So I don't have to say anything. What I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to the people that's out here. I'm going to give my relatives information. Let them know that I've been detained. Find out where you're going. If an agent asks DJ, any of these people, if they ask, can they search you? You have a right to say no. They do not have a right to search you or your belongings without your consent or any sort of probable cause. If they don't have that, they can't do it. Now, this is a very important thing that I want to tell anybody that's out here right now. You're over the age of 18 years old, you need to carry your papers with you at all times. If you don't have them, man, tell the officer you want to remain silent. Ask for a lawyer. Don't answer a damn question from these folks. But I'm saying to you, keep those documents on you. If you have them, keep them on you. Because that's the thing that's going to save you and that's going to help you in this situation. And now, if you get detained, you got a right to make a phone call. Police aren't, they're not allowed to listen to that conversation. Contact your lawyers. If you don't have a lawyer, there's plenty of people out here that's willing to help. And this is another thing too, DJ, before we get out of here. All people have to do is get online. You Google. There's so many firms out here right now that's willing to help. I've seen so many people saying they're willing to waive fees to help people in these situations. So this is just what DJ and I wanted to do. We want to use this time, these last 10, 15 minutes on this show, to really try to help people educate themselves and just understand what they could do. But these things right here are things that are going to be helpful for people going through these situations. And I just want to give a shout out to the people that's been out here that have been definitely making sure the ICE feels the Chicago welcome, the Portland welcome, or wherever the hell else these fucking idiots are coming. They are doing such a phenomenal job, DJ, of advocating for folks and being there for people. And that's what we got to do. Like we get tongue-tied. Like the saying said, I am my brother's keepers. We need to be our brother's keeper out here. We really need to make sure that we just don't allow this inhumane behavior to continue. Like this stuff that we're saying, this is stuff from a movie, and it just has to stop. DJ, gonna hit him with that curtain call, bruh.
All right, everybody, this current call goes out to Anna Maria Malaga. Malaga is a Red Cross worker that learned the importance of donating blood after her 4-year-old brother Antonio was diagnosed with blood cancer. During the 7 years that Antonio battled cancer, he needed numerous transfusions, and it started Maria on a mission to influence others to donate. Unfortunately, her brother's story does not have a happy ending as he passed away, but his memory does live on through Maria's work that has impacted blood donations in her local area. First, condolences to Antonio and may he rest in peace. But shout out to Anna Maria, man. I mean, just to do the work in the community and help people donate. And I have a 4-year-old nephew, so that hits me a little close to home. I can't lie. But just once again, rest in peace, Antonio, and just kudos to you.
No, and I echo that, DJ. Definitely rest in peace, Antonio. But it's amazing how, in one moment, right, like she loses her brother, but her work and her impact prevents other people from feeling the loss that she had. So I definitely appreciate this curtain call. Audience, as always, we appreciate you guys and your continued support of this platform. As we always say, without you, we wouldn't be. We're Pulling Back the Curtain podcast. Thanks for listening.